worship you. We give you praise.
Praise you, Father.
We love you, Lord. We love you.
We exalt you, Jesus.
We love you, Lord.
Praise your holy name, Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, welcome into his presence.
Praise your holy name, Father.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Worship you, Lord.
We love you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord.
We invite your glorious presence, Jesus.
Praise you, Father.
We worship you. We adore you. We love you more than anything, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
We love you, Jesus. We worship you. We magnify you.
Praise you, Father.
We invite your gaze, Jesus. We invite you. We welcome you. Set our eyes on you. We fix our attention on you, Jesus. We choose you, Lord. We choose you, Lord. We love you. We extol you. We worship you. We bless your name, Jesus. We gather once again with one heart, one mind, and one accord. Just to tell you how wonderful you are. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy. We love you, Jesus. We worship you.
We praise your holy name, Jesus.
You are so welcome in this place.
We glorify you.
Fill this place with your glory. Fill this place with your glory.
We magnify you, Lord.
Fill this place with your glory, Jesus. As we worship you. As we enter into your courts with thanksgiving and into this house with praise. Fill this place with your glory, Jesus. We want you, Lord. We want you, Jesus. We're here for you, Lord. We love you so much. We worship you. We worship you. We adore you, Lord. We adore you. Glory and honor and praise to our King, Jesus. You're all that we long for. You're all that we desire, Jesus. We welcome you. We welcome you. Because you're the one we need. You're the one we need, Jesus.
Yes, you are the one we need.
We lay down every thought of the week, every thought, every distraction, we lay it aside right now in your name, Jesus. We set our affection on you. We choose for the next couple of hours just to think of you. Keep our mind on you, Jesus. We captivate our thoughts. We take charge, Lord Jesus, and we welcome you to come have all that you want, Jesus. Do all that you want, Lord. We love you. We're here for you, to worship you, to adore you. How we love you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord.
Holy Jesus.
Worship you, Lord.
Holy,
Holy
are you,
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Holy are you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord. Worship you, Lord. It's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, Jesus. By your Spirit, Lord. We are united, Lord Jesus, in you. We are yours, Lord. Glory. We give you all the glory. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We love you, Lord. We worship you. This is your house, Lord. This is your place, Jesus. Worship you. Worship you.
Father, as we stand very close to Daniel's prophecy, as we stand so close to the witness, the faithful witness to his prophecy, as Lord, we have entered in to the beginning of sorrows. Father, I pray for our land. The famine, the worldwide famine, the world is crying out. And now, because of the drought that is in our nation, the great threat that is the talk of the news, the famine, Lord, which stands in our face, the lack of food and supply. Father, Jesus said that the beginning of sorrows would be this. There would be famine in diver places, different places, places that had never seen famine. And we understand, Lord, it is because of the blood. It is because of the blood of the little ones that have been murdered. But Father, we as intercessors, we lift up another blood, the blood of the first begotten and the only begotten. We pray that in these beginning of sorrows, that you will save us. That Lord, a great revival will come to America and forgive our land. When our missionaries were sent out, and we broke famines over nations who sacrificed their children to gods, and judgment was upon their nation. Now, Father, it is coming to us. It is coming to us, and we pray that, Lord, that you will forgive the millions of abortions. Father, forgive the mothers. Wash them in the blood of the Lamb. Cleanse their conscience through your blood, not through psychology, not through the ideology of humanism that says this is not a child, this is not a human being. But Father, cleanse our land. Divert the famine, I pray, Father, the spirit of poverty that is championing over our sins. Lord, forgive our sins. Forgive the church. Forgive the church for endorsing people that stand in our presidency who have chosen to kill innocent. Father, I pray for our state, that our state will be a state that will vote for the innocent. I pray that it'll be a vote for the unborn. Father, I pray that the crops that are failing, the corn that will not grow because the lack of rain in Iowa, Illinois, Ohio, the Basin Valley. Father, that principality that stands and says that he has a right to be there because of blood. Lord, I pray the blood of the Lamb. Come upon our nation, Father. Shake and stir our mothers and fathers to pray. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for cleansing. Lord, we thank you that Immokalee is the house of God, the Bethel, the house of God. We call it a city set on a hill. We call it a city where no abortions take place. We call it a city where mothers come and fathers come and are restored. We call it a city where the family unit is restored. We call it a city where fathers will no longer abandon their children to be raised in the streets. Satan, I know that you hear our words and you have hated us. And as Jesus said, you would have desired to scatter us and sift us. But I lift up one, the blood of the Lamb. This is our offering against you. And this is our stand, not in our boldness, but in his great love. In Jesus' name.
Worship you, Lord.
We stand on that, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. We praise you, Jesus.
We lift you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
We exalt you, Lord.
We magnify you, Jesus.
Glory to you, Lord.
We praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah,
Father. Hallelujah, Jesus.
This harvest, you have no idea how simple it's going to be, how easy. The anointing, yes, yes. But oh, this will be the one time, because of the harvest, you'll thank God for the things that you see coming on the earth. Tremendous tribulation. That's why in those days you'll say, I got to go down there and kiss the carpet one more time. As they taught me, that was a church that taught me I wasn't going to escape. I better get strong. Thank you, Pastor. I used to go through not repenting from it. I just can see it now. I thought, it'd be this, and then we'd get bigger and build another. I seen where we could, the harvest, the whole revival could take place from a room like this. Amen. If you think you got to go through, let's see, then we got to build and another building program. That's man's way.
That's right.
The whole revival can go from a room like this. And if we never build another room, the whole revival. Why? Because it happens out there. And your analytical or mean or ugly family members, the Bible says men's hearts will be failing them for fear of the things that are coming on the earth. This right now is a playpen to where it's going to get. They'll be coming to you. Either they're going to lose their mind because of the fear of all the things that are coming on the earth, or they're going to walk in and say, "You've got an answer. Why are you at such peace?" And you'll be able to give them Christ. Before, they didn't even believe in God. Now they're watching everything that man built crumble. About that time, some of them are just about ready to turn, and then they'll stop. Because they'll join the scoffer crowd. Because somebody will come up. Daniel's man. And for a temporary time, we'll watch him begin to settle things. And it'll be a false peace. Guess what? There's one coming in the clouds. The Word says they'll scoff him even though he's coming. But guess what? Keep praying for your loved ones. They're either going to go the way of the scoffer. They're going to join one crowd. He will be so close to the real thing that if it were not possible, even the very elect will be deceived. They'll go with him. But guess what? You who know him, the true and living one, the faithful witness, you'll just keep praying for your loved ones and say, "This is not peace. This is not peace. This is a falsehood. Join the real. Join the true." We'll be changed. He'll come up. That one who steps across the threshold and lifts himself up in Jerusalem, America, and all the nations, everybody that did not know him, they'll be ready to believe anything just to get fed, just to stop wars. God, this harvest is going to be so great. We don't ever have to put a spade in the ground to see this harvest. What do you got to do? Keep praying and loving Jesus. Keep magnifying this one that's coming back. Because he's coming back with power. Hallelujah. And the revival is going to be on you. It's going to be in you, and you're going to take it to the streets. Hallelujah. Thousands and thousands will be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. We worship you, Father. We worship you. Oh, should give somebody a hug for just a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you'll be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah. It's family day. exalt you. Worship you, Jesus. 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 Love you, Jesus. I exalt you. Worship you, Jesus. Well, every week is a Bayo Klaso Blemene. Hobije Vlasto Freste. Tell them this. Many will live or die on the decisions they make today. Families will stay or separate. Holy Sete. Monsake. Ejevaklo. Jesus. Yes, sir. I had to watch that because really when you give that, you better know what I'm about to say. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Some He's scheduled for you not to live out your days, which means early termination. The enemy wants to come, divert you from these kinds of anointings, just so you'll think it's another church service. Play basketball. Play softball right now. Worry about what you're going to do after service. Go cook something right now in your mind. He wants to kill you. I'm not. This is why I'm trying not to be over dramatic. I don't have to be over dramatic. We'll have a wonderful service without drama. I really don't like human drama. He wants to take you out. Schedule you for early termination. Hear what the Spirit would say, saith the Spirit of grace. Find my words of truth and repent. Repentance brings about my love that's already there, but it brings it about it for you. Know that I'm not angry, nor desiring. I'm not of the wicked one who brings the disease or who brings the abnormality against your body or will bring the destruction that he's desiring to bring against many of you. But know this, saith the Spirit of grace. It's not my desire to bring fear to you, but rather to bring an awareness to you that you understand that by simple submission to me, you'll find me coming in and rerouting your path, causing your life to go a life that's not awry, but it will follow the path of life and truth, and you'll live out your days, and with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Haleseni madiete ezevedakloso. This he's saying lovingly for the hard heads. You still don't get it. You will weep and mourn and cry. Young men, listen. You will remember this service. If you do not choose to change your ways, you do not have to be perfect. You are given room for mistake. You are given room for repentance. You're given room to make mistakes like any other human being. But you're choosing a path that goes against the wisdom of your elders. And know that in 5 years from now, if you do not, you will look back through prison bars and you will know that I came to stop. To stop. My God, why does He come like this? Because He can. You must have been praying lately. Wow. Stop, Jesus. Stop talking to people that you're talking to. But they're Christians. Your conversations are not edifying the Godhead, saith the Spirit of grace. Do not chide them, but lovingly tell them that you are not yet qualified to be their counselor. But when you receive more of me, you'll be happy to talk to them as much as they'd like, saith the Spirit of grace. Has your conversation taken them back more to my word than to your opinion? You're out of line. Change. Because you pull them down and you pull yourself down. You're not edifying me. I desire that I can come and heal you, saith the Spirit of grace, and bring strength. And your conversation with them makes you more mad at your husband. I've not come and said that to you. Who is it that you listen to? Bring forth fruit of repentance. And call on me. Pray that you'll pray for me. This is it's kind of new, but it's good. Again, do not leave believing that there is anger in the one who loves you so much. For my anger would be the parent that would be angry at the child who runs the third time to the street when I see the car that will soon kill them. I am angry at the disobedience because of their impending destruction. Not because I profit, but because they stand not to profit. My anger is seeing your impending doom and yet a stiff-neckedness that says, I've heard this before and will do nothing with it, saith the Spirit of grace. It'll be interesting to find out if anybody comes back next week. Hallelujah. I worship you. Just worship a little bit. Why don't you just stand with me and lift those hands and you can help me. I exalt you. I worship you. Praise and magnify you. Just out of your own priesthood. Just begin to magnify Him. You are so worthy, Jesus. Seated, and you can just stay up there for just a little bit. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Just so wonderful. You're so wonderful. Last Sunday was really unusual. This Sunday's really unusual. Thursday, Candy and I usually go someplace. But I have my prayer time a little bit before, and then we're sitting out on the swing, and the sun's coming up or been up just a little bit, and we're having coffee. And she already had Sunday service on the web, and many of you heard me say this Friday night, but the rest of you need to hear this. And she clicked on Sunday service. I began to listen to it and began to weep. I realized that it was one of those services that it was beyond. It represented. It represented something of where we're headed. In the Spirit. Hallelujah. Last day. No, you'll have those kinds of services where you say, this was my best. It went way beyond that. It went into a representation of kind of like a mirror of where we're headed, but only a foretaste. Where the elders came and ministered. And it doesn't have to be just like that for Him to show up. Powerful. But the worship was coming right out of our own priesthood. And there was words and visions that were being spoken. And it really was the next level, partially the next level of where revival's at. So it has nothing to do whether you were here or not. You always hear that. That's the best. No, this wasn't in that realm. Like, this was my favorite. No, it wasn't like that kind of, oh, that was my favorite. I got something out of that that I had never gotten before. It went way beyond that. It was a foretaste, again, a mirror of where we're headed. Because He was touching every man's world. He was prophesying to the family and bringing healing and deliverance. And He was talking about things that happened to young ladies as little girls in innocence and Everything was there. Everything. The Holy Spirit said, I want you to... He gave me some instruction about some people to send it to, but He said, I want everybody who wants one to get one. And then I saw the effect. I just saw it like that. I saw that if they put it on in their car and listened, you're not going to hear any doctrinal teaching. You're just going to see and sense the residual of the Holy Ghost as He comes out and brings healing and deliverance. Car or home, I was with Reuben and Delia last night. Reuben said they listened to it like 3 or 4 times and on until like 5 o'clock in the morning. It'll bring a calm to your home. You need to turn the TV off and put this on. It'll bring wisdom and direction and life. We've got plenty of them. Candy made a whole bunch of them. Please, we're going to give these to you before you leave here today. Hallelujah. We're going to get ready to just receive communion. Hallelujah. One more time, would you just lift your hands and begin to worship God? I exalt You. This is all about family. Jesus said this. We want you to have plenty of time to take this communion. He met a woman. She's sitting at the well. Comes up to her and he says, starts a conversation. He's going to get on the inside of her head. Dialogue. Woman, go call your husband. I don't have a husband. You know what? I know. Actually, you've had 5 husbands. And the man that you're shacked up with right now is not your husband. She said, oh my God, you must be a prophet. Yes, I am. I am. But that's what not, I didn't tell you that so you'll know that. I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I've got something for you. He said this. He said, the true worshipers. He said, woman, the Father, my Father, is seeking such to worship Him. The true worshipers will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Now the Spirit was, He was talking about for 4,000 years, nobody's ever been born again. We used to sing a song, I want to worship like David did. David, bless his heart, wasn't born again. Right up until after the resurrection, nobody was born again. Nobody had the Spirit of Christ, which is the new nature. So they could not worship Him. But truth was this. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In other words, you can't know the truth about God, who He is as your Father, until it's represented by Jesus Christ Himself. He who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. In other words, no man has seen God at any time. No man. In other words, you can't see him. You can't. It wasn't talking necessarily about this. He was talking about you can't know him. No man has ever known him without going through the Son. He has declared him. Only the Son. Only the only begotten. He's the one. Recently, I've been reading through the Psalms. I've enjoyed them so much. I'll read, not quickly, but very thoroughly. Started last week, and it's taken me a while because I'll just go and over, I'm up in the hundreds now. But I was tickled because I knew that there had to be that interpretation. You had to understand it in the light of who Christ is. You read some of those Psalms. Well, it was the Psalms that were worship. That was easy. I could just be edified with those Psalms. I could just, wow. I could glory, lift, or just like those. What I found out about most of them was this. It's a prophetic expression of who Jesus was in His coming, in His intercession for all mankind. He has declared Him. We get to worship the Father now in spirit and in truth because He has declared Him. You read some of those. David, you don't know Him, do you? That's okay. Because it wasn't that you didn't know Him, you were inspired by the Holy Ghost. I got real tickled on one. He said, let my enemy. He said, let his children be fatherless. His wife a widow. Let them beg in the streets and become vagabonds in all the earth, begging themselves throughout the earth. Let Satan, he said, S-A-T-A-N, Satan stand always by his side and continually oppress him. And I'm thinking, now let's see. How does that represent what Jesus said? Love your enemies. Do good to them who despitefully. Find somebody going through a problem with their neighbor. They love to read those other ones like this. He was showing the cursed, deprived, the depravity of humankind. You think that Jesus ever, the one that teaches you that you're supposed to love your enemies, do good to those who despitefully use you. The Psalms doesn't interpret Jesus' words, Jesus' life. He's the only true witness. He's the only one who's ever declared Him. In other words, I have to take His truth and go and interpret what David said. And when I look at it, I say, this is the deprived state of man. This is the curse that we're under. Jesus said this. He said, you Pharisees, you make vain. You vainly worship God, teaching for doctrine the commandments or the teachings of men. My God, I don't think there's anything that would be worse than me to worship God and then God come after 2 hours of worship and say, you know, that was all in vain. Why? Because what He was saying is, you have adopted your wisdom out of what the man has taught you about who I am. I've come to give you a spirit that has the capacity to know me in truth. When you look up and say, Abba, Father, you have to believe that I'm a good God. And I've come with the expression of the true witness. And the true witness has said, love your enemies. Do good to those who spitefully use you. Because as your Father reigns on the just and the unjust, I want you to have the same capacity to love your enemies. And if you can do that, then I can accept your worship and you'll know who I am. And we've been stuck the last couple Wednesday nights in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul said, we know that we all have knowledge. He says, as concerning eating those things that are sacrificed. Meaning the Corinthian church, real quick, to us it's not an issue. But thousands of them were being born again, and there were huge temples, and they were sacrificing animals, cows, sheep. And then they would use that in the common market, and people would buy it, and then they would barbecue it or eat it, or you could invite somebody over. Paul said all these new babies were being born again that were raised. They were raised to worship the pagan god. And when their mom and dad cooked the steak or the stew, it was an honor to that god. Now he said, I can eat that meat that's been sacrificed. I can buy it knowing it's been sacrificed. And I can eat it. Because I know this, I've got the revelation. I've got a revelation that there is no other God except one. His name is Jesus. But he said, howbeit in all men is not that knowledge. So he says, when you defile the conscience of your brother, you have sinned. In other words, if he looks at you and says, why is he doing that? Paul says, I have the revelation. But you know what he said? He said, this we know, knowledge puffs up, but charity edifieth. Did you hear me? You know what knowledge is? It's revelation knowledge. Paul said, I've got the revelation that I can eat this. But he said, charity, the agape of God, says, what about my brother? What about my friend? Now listen, this is where the love of God comes in. He said, knowledge puffs up. Did you know I can have a revelation and walk around real cocky about it? I know something you don't know. I got taught by some preacher in Tulsa or some preacher over there, or some preacher in Immokalee or some I got this myself. But do you know what he said? He said, we know that knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And he said this, that even let him who believes that he knows something, that he does not know, even what he knows. And now I'm kind of slanging it because of my mind someplace else. But that scripture says this, you don't know by revelation what you think you know if charity, if love, is not the basis of it. Well, it's a revelation, but you don't know it. Yes, I do. I've got it. I can spit it back to you. But Paul said, you don't know what you think you know if the basis of your revelation is not love. Okay, I did this the other night. Here's a representation of a great revelation. Let's say it's a revelation you've got on prosperity or healing or righteousness or anything. The greatest revelation on faith, Jesus turned this. Said, you know, you take that mountain and you can cast it in the sea. And he said, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you have it, you'll have those things. Speak it with your mouth and you can have it. And then he put a pigtail on it. I wish he had just walked away. He put a pigtail on it. He started walking. Oh, forgot to tell you. After you've prayed and spoke to the mountain, he said, if any of you do not forgive your brother, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. In other words, faith worketh by love, and you can speak it until your tongue falls out on the floor. But if love is not the basis of your revelation, Paul said, let him who thinks he has a revelation know this, he does have nothing except it be. But he says, if any man knows God, meaning if he'll have fellowship with him, he is known of God, and that makes his revelation work. I could say to you, here's my revelation on healing, righteousness, truth, prosperity, the kingdom of God, anything I can tell you. Here's my pet. Man, you got it rehearsed, don't you? Almost thou convincest me to... let's say it was represented like this. Here's my revelation. Here's a revelation on righteousness or healing. Or let's say laying hands on the sick or speaking the word. Let's say it's represented by a simple elemental equation. Like your revelation of a great truth is represented like... Let's represent it by a simple equation of H2O. Water. Two parts hot. Now, this is real elementary, and so if you're a chemist, you could probably correct me later, but H2O. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Here's my revelation on righteousness, what we've become. Hallelujah. Man, that's good. Man, that's good. What is the equation on that? It's H2O. You mean if I take two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen, that I can do the same, this will work for me? Yeah. So I'm a professor in a laboratory. Okay, kids, you've got this glass cylinder. You've got these two compressed cans of hydrogen and oxygen. At the push of a button, just push the button and it's going to automatically squirt, jet in. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. What you're going to see, I'll tell you what you're going to see before. You're going to see a fog, a mist, condensation. And at the bottom of your tube, you're going to find about a half inch of water. We created water. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. So they go over there. Nothing happens. Professor. Yes. I thought you told me if I put in two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, the formula never fails. Well, let me go over and see. Maybe your apparatus is not working correctly. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Water. Why doesn't it work for me? I don't know. Try it again. Golly. Must not have the touch. Let me try it again. Two parts. It's just real simple. Real simple. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Water. Try it. Are you playing a trick on me? No, I'm not. Just follow the revelation. The revelation will do it. Maybe I'll close my eyes. Maybe I'll put my tongue in my left cheek and... Nothing happens. Would you do it one more time? Okay. I'm not touching anything. This is not a trick. No magic. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Shh. Look at the water. Why is it not working for me, Professor? Oh, gosh. I did you a terrible service, injustice. The only way this works, this formula, which you call a revelation, it doesn't work unless you have love inside of you when you perform it. The kingdom of God is not a formula. You cannot take your revelation and do it the same way every time and it'll always work unless love. Paul said, let that man know this. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. Let him who thinks he knows something know this. He knows nothing except he knows it by the love of God. Why doesn't it work for me? I can tell you there's a baptism in his love. It's the missing ingredient that causes the whole word to unfold. Well, I've got a formula on this and I'm going to follow my formula, and your formula won't work. It won't raise the dead and you won't get them healed and you won't see prosperity until there is a working of that which causes all of it to work. And that's called the agape of God. I could have the revelation on worship. Man, we have some good times around here. And I'm so thankful that He comes and visits you and me in our private. I could go down the street, walk in to the 10 o'clock service, and I don't mean just down the street. I'm talking about anywhere down the street. Anywhere where there's a form and they give me a menu to follow and they say, now we're going to sing the third line on page 120, right after the announcements. And I could sit in there and watch born again people who weren't necessarily filled with the Holy Ghost, and I could say, golly, are they in bondage or what? My God, these poor, naive, pitiful creatures, what I know about worship compared to what these... Do you know this? According to Paul, I still don't know what I think I know if my heart is not working in with them in love to say He loves them just as much as He loves me. And if my revelation puffs me up and makes me think that I'm standing in a place that they don't have because I've received something, then He says, you don't know what you think you know if love is not the basis of it. Hallelujah. Love. It's not an emotion. It's far deeper than that. Sometimes Satan will tear a bunch of you up, and he's done it to all of us, because we run into confrontations with our family or with friends, and we don't feel these emotions that we feel here. And it's difficult. Maybe the tone of voice, your own voice goes up, or there's a struggle and you feel the emotion of the moment and you walk away and say, I really failed God. Well, let me tell you, love is stronger than steel. It's a million times stronger than the strongest fortified diamond. It's not weak, it's powerful. Understand this, even when you're fighting through all those emotions, here's where you win or lose, even after they've been ugly. If you still do for them, in the end, what Christ would have done, which is to point them in the right direction and choose not to hurt them, even if you've went through a whole myriad of emotions, the love of God is exemplified in this, always choosing to put the other one first. That's the love of God. Well, Paul opened up the church and said, if any man will judge himself, he doesn't have to be judged. He said, many resident diseases have come into the church of God. Many. You have to understand, unforgiveness to a person who knows to forgive can open doors. Pastor, yes, sir. Pray for my son. He's under a terrible financial attack. Okay, and I'll clarify this in a moment. I'm not talking about, well, I'll do it now. What I'm about to say, I'm not talking about baby Christians who come in for the first 6 months or a year of their life and learn what truth is. Pray for my parentheses, backslidden son. He's under a terrible attack of Satan in his finances. Really? Yes? Okay. Him and his live-in keep agreeing that Satan will be broken off of their finances. And they're under an attack. They're under a trial. Sweetheart, that's not a trial. That's not a trial. Trials are against those who are striving to walk forward in righteousness. That's when he comes to take the word out of you. what has happened is your son or daughter has walked out into darkness. They still may be his, but they're walked out into darkness. Now, God's not getting to have any part, and they're in darkness's kingdom, and he's getting to levy on them. Well, would you pray for them? Well, I can't pray that God will heal their finances. I can pray that they'll stop the live-in condition and they'll change, and then their finances will change. We got too many preachers trying to put blessings on sin. You can't bless sin. Thank you, I will. He won't go along with it. So Paul said resident diseases come into the church. Sickness is not always a result of you not forgiving somebody, but it can be. He said going to your grave early can be a result of those kinds of things. But he said we get to judge ourselves. With the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we usually go back into Old Testament Scripture and show where those stripes were for your healing. In other words, if you were really mad at somebody, they lied on you, they did this, they did that. You could go to those stripes and you could say, Lord, forgive me. I received these stripes for my healing. But let me tell you, tomorrow you probably won't have a communion service. Let me tell you, those stripes are always available. That blood speaks every day. When you go before Him and open yourself up in the Word or in worship, I can tell you, the more you allow Him to come in, He wants to heal you and fortify you against the hurt, so that when you pray, it's not earning it. It's not earning it. Many of you thought, well, now he's talking about earning something because of our righteousness. No. It's simply you coming in and submitting to Him and saying, I can't do this on my own. His grace is sufficient. We're going to do this in two different things. I believe that you understand that you don't have to join this church. I am so glad to see people here that I haven't seen in a while. I believe that you understand that you do not have to do this in works. But I will tell you, if you don't know, it's not works. It's not how many times you come to church. It's not how many times or how much you pray. It is believing in the simplicity of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that He alone is your advocate, or He's the one who helps you, He comes immediately. Now, there's no interruption in this. I'm just going to tell you. In just a moment, we're going to open this up. I'm going to ask all of you to come, every single person in here, come down. Receive the body, which is the bread, and the cup, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. Know this. The biggest part of everything that He did in anointing towards you was done in those prophecies. But now He wants to continue His healing power to you. When you take the cup and the bread this morning, gather with someone. Let someone minister to you. Let someone pray with you and be a part of your blessing. If there's something inside of you this morning that is having a struggle, the Lord said to me, this was a family time. I don't have to touch you, but the Holy Spirit can touch you. I don't have to minister to you, but receive the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ during this time. We exalt You, Jesus. exalt you. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. All those who can hear, who have a screen that is so big in God, who, as Homer said, you can look at your drop boxes. Keep this as the main screen, but listen to what He has you to give this morning. It does not offend the Holy Spirit. But I'm asking you before you leave today to give. To give according as the Holy Spirit would speak to you. Do not rush out of here. The Bible says that they tarried one for another. You elders, men and women, you know who you are. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you to go to someone, go to them. Pray with them. Pray the prophetic prayer. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what to pray. Let us all stand, please. Before you leave here, there will be baskets up here, but we won't put them up here now. But I ask you to remember the house of God. So when you're done having communion, you can find an envelope and do the same. Father, I thank You for the blood of Jesus and the great grace that is in this tabernacle. Lord, come upon us as we take the offering of the blood and of the body. We thank You that we receive healing. Lord, I pray for the elders right now. Let this be an elder ministry. Lord, speak to the elders to pray with others and to lay hands and to bring healing. Give them words, prophetic words, powerful words. Strengthen now. Lord, we love You. And we give You all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're standing there, Rex, would you please? If you go out of here today, one per family, but if you're a man and woman who, wife and husband who are traveling, or you've got older children, you're traveling in different vehicles and you want one per vehicle, let us know. Rex will stand at the door and he won't necessarily pass these all out now, but please get one before you leave here. Most of you got one, or a lot of you got one Friday night. Listen to them over and over and over again. Now, in the name of Jesus, we receive this communion as a family and as sons and daughters, and we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.